It is a sad, dark day down in San Diego. As it is official now, the Chargers are heading up the coast to Los Angeles, and it's such a shame in every single factor. Normally, when a team moves, it's because another city really wants you. Nobody in L.A. wants the Chargers.
Right.
You know, when the Browns moved to Baltimore, everyone wanted them.
Yep.
When the Thunder moved from Seattle to Oklahoma City, everybody wanted them.
Yep.
When Vancouver moved to Memphis, everybody wanted them. When Baltimore moved to Indianapolis, everyone wanted them. Nobody wants the Chargers. They don't want them in San Diego, and they don't want them in L.A., but they're going to L.A. because of the dollar sign. But how awful is it that the city of San Diego and the Chargers have allowed this to get to this point, and now they're moving to a city where nobody wants them. Nobody wants the Chargers in L.A. I don't even know if they really want the Rams in L.A., but they sure don't want the Chargers.
Yeah, they don't really want one team, but two teams doesn't even sound right. 56-year history out the window. My question to you, I guess, is Spanos. He's been, what they say, making this dance with the whole city and everything for 15 years. And so do you blame him at all? This isn't something that just came up.
I don't blame him in one sense, but I, from the people that I trust down in San Diego, first of all, the Spanos family is, I hate to use the word hated, so I'll just use the word, they are very, very disliked down in San Diego.
Okay.
The people in San Diego feel that the Spanos family has not done enough. The people down in San Diego don't want to roll out the red carpet for Dean Spanos and his family. So that's really part of it. If there had been new ownership with the San Diego Chargers, there would be construction going on as we speak for a downtown stadium. But the city and the people of San Diego have basically said no to the Spanos family. And so I don't blame him from his perspective. He wasn't going to get a new stadium in San Diego. He has got to, you know, do what's best for him as an owner, and what's best for him is to move into the number two market in the country with that TV, with everything else that comes with it. But it doesn't make the situation any less sad. This is sad.
It's very sad. When you talk about a history, and I was watching, they showed like top 10 moments, and there were a lot of moments for the Chargers. It's unfortunate. Because when you have a history like that, you would like to be able to keep it with an area. And looking at San Diego, I mean, San Diego is a pretty spendy area. I just 15 years, I don't understand how you can't come up with the type of money that it takes to put together a stadium to keep a team there if you really want them.
When you have an ownership group, because we just went through it here in Sacramento, where business leaders and the city don't really want to do business with you, you're never going to get it done. I mean, the Maloofs tried for years to get a deal done.
So it's personal with Spanos and them?
You know,
like,
what?
I would say
it's somewhat similar to what we went through here with the Maloofs, who were beloved when they went to buy the team. And towards the end, for their last 4 or 5 years, they fell out of favor with everyone. And it really got to a point where this city and our business leaders didn't want to do business with them anymore. Mm. And pretty much the same thing has happened down in San Diego.
That is just it's unfortunate. And then, Grant, you take it even a step further, and you saw online or on different stations today the one of the emblems that was a looked like a L.A. Dodger hat,
yeah.
And at the bottom of the L there was
a bolt.
Charger bolt. That is just
awful. Terrible.
I think Tampa Bay Lightning said it was Tampa Bay and the Dodgers came together and had a stepchild, and that's what it was. They're gonna have to do rebranding. There's a lot of different things, because to me, if I close my eyes and just say the L.A. Chargers, it doesn't ring with me.
No.
It's
a really sad day.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the fans down in San Diego. We just went through it here in Sacramento, and I know what that feeling in the stomach feels like. It's unfortunate. It really is. It's unfortunate.
Where will they be playing, Grant?
Well, they're going to play for the first 2 years at the StubHub Center, which seats 30,000, and then they'll join the Rams at the stadium in Inglewood.
So what do you do if you're at the StubHub Center and you got 30,000, right? And most NFL arenas
are a minimum of 60.
Minimum of 60.
Right.
Let's say you're at 30 and you can't even fill it up, Grant. You look in the stands and it's not even full.
Well, you'll have 20 to 25,000 of Chiefs fans.
Somebody else.
Raider fans.
Okay.
You know.
Well, I hope for their sake that you don't look up and see an empty StubHub.
That's awful. It's absolutely awful. Can you imagine being 30 years old and you are now the head coach of a NFL team in Los Angeles? Sean McVay is the new head coach of the Los Angeles Rams at 30 years of age. Now, he does turn 31 this month, but youngest coach in the history of the NFL. His birthday is January 24th. How about that for you?
Oh, my goodness. One day before my mother's birthday of January 25th. Let me tell you, that is it's exciting for him. It's exciting for the NFL.
Right.
New blood. To see a young guy go in and get a job like that, it obviously you'll be interested to see what he does with it. But another era, maybe, you know, could he be that next guy? You don't know. But I heard something interesting today. Head coaching is different than being an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator. It's more about managing. Because I was watching the guy who got the Denver Broncos job.
Yeah, Johnson.
Johnson. Yeah. And looking at his press conference, and he said, you know, I can call the call. I can call the plays. But I want to run the team. And there's a difference of running the team as opposed to doing those things. So what type of coach will he be at that type of age? Will he be a micromanager? Who knows?
I was doing the Raider games when on the preseason games when John Gruden was the head coach. And John Gruden was at that time the youngest head coach in the NFL.
Okay. Well, how old was he?
He was in his early 30s. I'll tell you exactly I'll tell you, And I was at practices. I never once felt that it was an issue. They had a lot of veterans on that team.
Older than him?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, Rich Gannon, the quarterback, was older than him. Or at least the same age. And because John Gruden right now is 53.
Okay.
And so he coached the Raiders beginning in 98. So do the math.
Yep.
All right, so that's what? It's the seventh. So that's 19 years ago. So, yeah, he was in his early to mid-30s when he was coaching the Raiders. And I never really felt it to be an issue when I was around the team and talking. You know, Lincoln Kennedy would know better than me because Lincoln played for him. But didn't really seem to be an issue. You know, he was in complete control of the practice field. I think the players in Oakland respected him.
That's key.
Yes.
That is really key.
So, you know, I here's what I think if you're a player. And I think you could relate to this a lot better than I could. I think when you're a player, you know within your first meeting with a coach whether this guy's got it or not.
Yes, you
know.
Do. Yeah, immediately.
And then after your first practice, you
definitely know.
Right.
Because does he control it? Does he have it? Is he trying? Is he trying?
Right.
Or does he have that thing that just says, my age doesn't matter? Because some people are, you know, they have a spirit about them that's different than their age. So at 30 years old, can he control it? Can he, you know, give sage advice? Those type of things. And that is really, really important, especially when you're dealing with guys, like you said, Grant, who might be 34, 35, 36, maybe even 38 years old. And they've been around and they've probably seen more. But have you been schooled well enough? Do you know? And that's it. Do you know your business? If you know your business, it comes across, it speaks volumes, it's body language, and it speaks.
All right, so we got big football news today. Are the Raiders next? And you know what? Yes, they are next. No, they are. And you know what would make a lot of sense? And I know this is never going to happen.
Right.
The L.A. It can't happen. But
no,
what I'm saying,
not even
what would make sense? It would make sense for the Raiders to join the Rams in L.A., but that would be the worst thing in the world for the Rams because the L.A. is a Raiders town. But that would sell out the stadium. That would create amazing interest and then work out a deal to have San Diego go to Vegas. And I really mean that because Vegas is going to sell out no matter who's there. They want pro sports. They want an NFL team. It wouldn't be good for the Rams because the Raiders would take over that market. But if you're really thinking about what makes sense for the NFL, that makes a lot more sense.
It totally does. When you think of, I mean, Oakland, I think Oakland, obviously. But L.A. sounds right with Raiders, as well as Oakland does. But if you are going to do that, I would say the Raiders to Los Angeles. And, yes, the Chargers, send them down to Las Vegas because, like you said, there is a built-in fan base that's going to come from for a lot of different reasons. People there are gambling. People want to go on the weekends, check out a football game. Yeah, I just don't see it. Obviously, yeah. One team in Los Angeles – is kind of weird enough, and they couldn't even fill the Coliseum. But now you're thinking two? It's a little mind-boggling.
All right, if you want to talk about that, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And here's the other issue. Spanos is going to be expected to pay $550 million for the relocation fee for over 10 years. Okay?
Out of his pocket.
Yep.
So how much would the arena cost?
They will pay, from what I'm reading in the sources, they will pay $12 million to San Diego to get out of their lease at Qualcomm Stadium. So now you're up to $562, all right? They're going to relocate their training facility somewhere in Orange County before July 1st. So we're talking about an enormous amount of money just to go into the L.A. market, which begs the question, why couldn't that money gone into staying in San Diego? The NFL was going to they were going to contribute somewhere in the neighborhood of $300 to $350 million. Now, people may say, why did Spanos just come out all of a sudden without telling anybody? Because he didn't tell anybody, although we knew this was going to happen. But he didn't tell Stan Kroenke. He didn't tell Roger Goodell. He didn't tell anybody when they announced that they were going to L.A., yesterday, the NFL Finance Committee had meetings, and they talked about the Raiders going to Vegas. They talked about raising the money that NFL owners would contribute to keep San Diego in San Diego, the Chargers down there. And their contribution was about $300 million, the other owners and the NFL. And Spanos had asked the Finance Committee to raise that figure to make it easier for him to keep the team in San Diego. And fellow owners said no, they would not go above the $300 million. And when Spanos heard that his fellow NFL owners said no to raising the money above $300, he said, okay, I'm out of here. And that's why the announcement came this morning.
So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that this isn't finished then. Because if you smack your own buddies in the face like that, and they have a lot of leverage. Because when you say this, Grant, you're saying $550 million he has to pay out of his own pocket. They're willing to put up $350 million. That's $900 million.
Right.
So is he asking for relief of the $350 million? Add on to the $350
million
so it makes the total pot more?
Yes.
Or does it make his contribution less?
Both. It's a combination of both. But this is done in this manner, okay? I don't think the Spanos family could go back to San Diego right now. That's number one. Number two, Roger Goodell and the NFL have already voted on this. They've already agreed that the San Diego Chargers could relocate to L.A. as long as they made the decision before January 15th. That was what was negotiated last year. Mark Davis thought the Raiders were going to be that second team that had the opportunity to go and join Stan Kroenke and the Rams, and the NFL said, no, it's the Chargers, okay? The Chargers had until January 15th to exercise their option to join L.A. This doesn't have to be voted on. This is already a done deal in terms of the NFL allowing the Chargers to go. Does the NFL want the Chargers in L.A.? No, they don't, but they can't do anything about it because the Chargers exercised their option that was theirs until January 15th.
Wow.
Now, the other part of this is – okay, are we going to be looking Mark Davis is going to file for relocation and for Las Vegas.
Right.
Everyone that is coming out of these meetings and all of the sources in the NFL said that the Raiders are moving to Las Vegas. Okay, that they are going to Las Vegas and that the owners now are actually on board with them going to Las Vegas.
I saw that. I saw, and there were some heavy hitters.
Yes, major heavy hitters.
Robert Kraft, Jerry Jones. When you talk about Dallas, you talk about
Stan Kroenke's not going to say no to him. He just moved from St. Louis to L.A.
Yeah, he's living the dream.
Right.
Well, he kind of started this whole thing.
Yes.
I'm just looking at Spanos. Has there ever been a precedent that someone's been made to sell their share of their, kind of like what we saw with Los Angeles Clippers?
That's different. I mean, that situation is different. Ultimately, it really wasn't the NBA that made Donald Sterling sell his team, although it was really the sponsors of the NBA.
By pulling out and saying, we're going to, okay.
And the players weren't going to play. You cannot force an owner in professional sports to sell their shares unless they have engaged in criminal activity.
Okay.
Or they have done something so egregious, such as what Donald Sterling did.
Gotcha.
That the sponsors of the organization pulled back all of their advertising revenue.
Okay.
And the players refused to play.
Okay.
That's the only way you can do anything.
You start to damage the shield.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, I just see that he kind of, the way that you explain it, it looks like he kind of backdoored him. That's kind of, oh, you're not going to give me my money? I asked for some more money. You're not going to give my money?
Pretty
okay.
much.
Well, here, bang. By not telling anybody, that this isn't.
When they say we didn't tell anybody, he had said a week ago, you know, the inference was we're moving to L.A. and they'll be announcing it before the January 5th deadline. But this was the last ditch effort. Right. When the finance committee met yesterday, it was the last ditch effort for the NFL to say, okay, he's moving. Do we want to come up with some more money? And the owner said, no, we don't.
I wonder what that number would have been for him to say.
Probably would have had to be $500 million.
So then that would have put with his. So he was looking for about $1 billion.
Right.
So would that money have went immediately to build a new Coliseum there?
Well, the other issue.
Because they
LA
voted
is,
down
the
there.
The other issue in San Diego is where were they going to build the stadium? Most people feel that it should have been near Petco there down in the convention area where they do have excess land. And then others said, no, keep it where it is, where Qualcomm is right now out, you know, a little bit further away from the city. But this, the mayor of San Diego and the city had said, no, it went to a vote. The voters said, no, we're not going to pay for it. It really comes down to the basics. The city of San Diego and a lot of the people that live in San Diego are done with the Spanos family. They're
gotcha.
Done. Okay.
So not with the Chargers, with the family.
If the Spanos family had put this team up for sale, which they weren't going to, but I'm speaking, if they were going to put this team up for sale and new owners had come in, the city would have worked out a deal within 24 hours, and they would have had a stadium.
See,
and the business leaders would have jumped on board. Everyone would have been jumped on board. The Spanos family is no one wants to do business with them down there.
See, that's where the NFL, in my opinion, has to jump in because
what
now
can
you
they do,
have.
Though?
I know, but I'm just that just the way that that even sounds is just sounds like you got a dastardly person at the helm, and you just better
can't do
watch
anything.
Out.
You just can't do anything.
That's
I've spoken
bad.
To some pretty heavy hitters down there, people with some big dollars.
And that's was my point, Grant,
right.
is San Diego is a place with means. I mean, there are some people down there with some big bucks. So if that team was for sale, it would get snapped up immediately.
And the people and these are people that have lived there their whole life who are extremely wealthy. Every single one of them that I've talked to told me the same thing about the Spanos family.
Really?
That people don't want to do business with them. That they just, you know, if the team had been sold, there would be no issue. But it's again,
makes you feel
I'm not
sorry.
In San Diego, so I can't tell you the complete vibe. But from what I'm hearing from the people I'm talking to, it's very similar to what we went through here in Sacramento as far as the perception of the Maloofs. And I still to this day defend the Maloofs to a certain degree because I knew both sides of the story.
Right.
And again, I'm not saying that they were saints at the end, and but I still look at that situation somewhat differently than the majority of people. But regardless of whether I'm right or wrong, the one thing we can all agree on is that towards the end of the Maloof's reign here over the final 3 years where they were going to go to Anaheim, then they decided they were going to stay, and then those final 3 years that the Maloofs owned the team, it got to a point where they didn't even want to go to the games anymore.
Wow.
All right, they didn't want to be in Sacramento because the hostility towards them and the venom towards the name Maloofs was that bad. And I just get the sense the same thing has happened down in San Diego with the Spanos.
So why does everyone keep looking over Anaheim? Why maybe they didn't put the Chargers in Anaheim? Just
I don't know.
Do they want that LA attached to it?
Well, first of all, you need a new stadium. Yeah, okay. They don't have a stadium in Anaheim that you can play football in. That's number one. Number two, the NFL is saying, you know, we had the NFL in Anaheim and it did not work.
Okay.
You know, the LA Rams played in Anaheim and they moved. And so that's a great question. My feeling is in this day and age of 2017, and I think it's the big mistake they made in Northern California, is I really believe that when we're talking about $2 billion, you know, structures, which
yes.
is what we're really dealing with.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
it makes so much more sense when you have two teams in one region to
yes.
share the stadium.
Yes.
The Giants and Jets did it, and you know what? The Giants fans have no issue with the Jets fans. The Jets fans have no issue with the Giants fans. It's not like, well, gee, that's our stadium, though. And they changed the stadium for the Jets where it's all green,
yep.
and they changed the stadium for the Giants when it's all blue.
Right.
They changed the lighting on the outside from blue to green.
Yeah.
You know, they changed it. It's one name. It's called MetLife Stadium. But you know what?
It makes
so much sense.
Oh, my God.
Okay? And the fact that they didn't try to do that here in Northern California or couldn't get that accomplished, look at how bad things are with the San Francisco 49ers with Levi's Stadium. It could have been done, you know, and the fans of the Niners would have had no problem with the fans of the – I mean, my point is you could have shared the stadium and it would have been fine.
Yep.
Now, because you weren't able to share a stadium, because you weren't able to make financial fiscal sense, which is the same thing, financial fiscal, but because you weren't able to come to your common sense with your
yep.
fiscal responsibilities – now you're going to have the Raiders leave Northern California. So I ask Raider fan, would you really not rather have shared a stadium with the 49ers? Or would you rather have had the team just move, which they're going to move? I personally, if I'm a diehard Raider fan, I'm like, yeah, we'll share the stadium, no problem.
That is a question I want to hear the answer to. It's 3:25. Time to get ready for International Sportsman Expo coming to Cal Expo next Thursday through Sunday, January 19th through 22nd.
All right, so Jason Cole, NFL insider for Bleacher Report, is going to be coming on next, all right? And we're going to get his take on this whole dialogue that now the Chargers are the L.A. Chargers.
Ugh.
And
that just sounds
the
terrible.
Raiders are pretty soon going to be the Las Vegas
and
Raiders.
And that sounds worse, too.
Yes,
come on.
It does.
It's awful.
It is awful.
It just
but, you know, it's like the Cleveland Browns became, you know, the Baltimore Ravens. They changed their name.
For whatever reason, that one, it's
yeah,
okay.
But you know what, though? When you say it's okay, do you mean the name was okay?
The name sounds right.
Okay.
The Las Vegas
but
Raiders.
There's nothing
I'm just going to call them the Raiders.
The Browns left Cleveland. There was nothing
yes,
ever worse than
now,
that.
I agree with that. That's terrible. The way it, yeah, trucks in the middle of the night.
I mean, you know,
things.
I mean. That,
oh, that,
that
was Indianapolis.
You know, Art Modell.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was, no, the trucks in the middle of the night were Baltimore to Indianapolis.
Baltimore
yeah.
to Indy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
man. When it doesn't sound right, they're not yep. going to be the Los Angeles Chargers. They're just going to be the Chargers.
Well, you know what they're going to be? They're going to be the laughingstock of the NFL because you want to know why? No one's going to go watch them play. Nobody in L.A. wants them.
Man.
So you know what that means? You're not going to get a big radio deal.
And as a billionaire owner, you can't figure that out.
But you don't make the bulk of your money as we go to the break from the people that are sitting in the stands. They're going to make their money regardless of who comes to the game. All right, we'll talk about this with Jason Cole next. All right, Grant Napier, Doug Christie. Obviously, so much stuff going on as we navigate our way through the NFL playoffs.
Oh, boy.
And the Chargers are the L.A. Chargers. I'm trying to think, and since I've been alive, And I honestly would not, if my dad were alive, I'd be able to call him and ask him, and he'd be able to tell me in 2 seconds what it was like, you know, when the Giants and the Dodgers left New York to go
imagine?
Out west.
Wow.
Because the Giants and Dodgers in New York and the Yankees,
yeah.
I mean, you had Ebbets Field, you had the Polo Grounds, you had Yankee Stadium, and it was nuts. And so
your dad was a Polo Ground guy, right?
My dad, well, before Yankee Stadium was built, yeah, but Yankees and New York Giants. But what's interesting is I don't know what it was like back then.
Mm-hmm.
If the people in San Francisco were going, you know, crazy that the Giants were coming out west
or
LA with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that there were the New York fans, it was awful for them.
Right.
And this was before the Mets were in existence, but I don't recall a team moving where the city they're moving to doesn't really want them.
Right. Like, yeah, I can imagine. Because you're thinking San Diego. I don't know how far it is from San Diego to Los Angeles, but
Well, it's not that far.
A couple hundred miles.
It can take forever depending on the traffic.
Right. It's not far.
Right.
Let's say 120, 130 miles. You're talking from New York to L.A. That is across the country.
Right.
So you could totally have feelings about, man, we don't want those New Yorkers here. You know, that's a total.
Yeah,
that would be interesting.
I don't know what the – I'll have to – if we have someone that's listening that is of, you know, age – that was can remember what it was like back then when the Giants and the Dodgers left New York to come west. If you could help us out with this,
that'd be great.
You know,
yeah.
What the excitement level was in those respective cities. Because my dad used to tell me stories all the time about how great it was. You know, some of his friends were Giant fans. Some of his friends were Dodgers fans. I mean, you know, it was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because New Yorkers are very passionate. I mean, you're not a Mets fan and a Yankees fan.
Can't.
It's not happening.
No.
You're not a Jets fan and a Giants fan.
No.
It's not happening.
There's a handful of people, but very, very few.
You draw a line in the sand. So you would have a lot of fun with your friends and different stuff who might have been a different fan than you.
All right. If you want to call the program, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, that's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. In just a couple moments, we hope to get Jason Cole on, the NFL insider, for Bleacher Report. And then again, you know, if you're a fan of the Raiders and, you know, you want to know what's going on, you're moving too. All right? You're next.
Is that, in your opinion, written in stone?
It's not written in stone, and I've been through this with this city. It's not written in stone until the team's no longer there. The Chargers are no longer in San Diego. The Raiders are still in Oakland.
So there's no chance that the Charger thing goes backwards. Okay.
No.
But the Raider thing, until it's done, is there's still a possibility. Ronnie Lott Group, something, it's out there. And, you know, this could help because if you see the pain of one city, you know, and
yeah.
you just never know.
I wouldn't say that there's no chance because, I mean, could the NFL do something this weekend and say, you know what, we have to have an emergency meeting and we realize that this is, you know, I mean, again, I don't know. But I'll tell you this. This is, and we'll talk with Jason Cole. I want to ask him this question because he's with us now from the Bleacher Report, their NFL insider. Jason, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, how are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
You know, I was trying to think about this, and I wasn't alive when the Giants and Dodgers in baseball moved from New York to the West Coast, so I don't know what the vibe was in those respective cities. But I was saying, Jason,
neither did I.
Yeah, I don't, Jason. You know what? I just don't remember a team ever moving to a city in which the city doesn't want them. No one wants the Chargers in L.A., and that's what makes this such a weird dynamic. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm not sure anybody wants the Rams in L.A. right now. Either.
That's true.
Right.
Right. They want the Raiders, but they're not getting the Raiders. But they want right. the Rams more than the Chargers, I think we could say that.
I mean, look, it's a really challenging, interesting idea. I mean, after you get past the fact that you feel bad for San Diego, that they couldn't work anything out between the team and the city, that, you know, this becomes a huge challenge for the Chargers to develop a fan base. But the Clippers were able to do it. It took an awful long time, but here's the bottom line. Even the Clippers, who are behind the Lakers, behind the Dodgers, probably behind the Angels, probably behind UCLA basketball, probably behind USC football. I mean, definitely behind those. I mean, what are the Clippers are like the eighth, maybe the ninth team in Los Angeles, right?
No question.
They went for $2 billion, right?
Wow.
And they sell out every night right now.
Well, I mean, it doesn't even matter.
I know, but at least the interest is there, is what I mean.
Before they were selling out, okay? That's just what the property's worth. So you're moving the Chargers up there. You give it time. You've turned your $1.8 billion franchise into, I don't know, $2.6, $2.8, $3 billion, whatever it is. You made a bunch of money by driving 95 miles up the road.
Yeah.
So that's part of what this is all about. And here's the other thing I would say. I grew up in Los Angeles as a Rams fan. Now, they left. I don't care anymore. I just cover football for a living. There are a bunch of people who are 25 years old and younger who have no association with any NFL team in Los Angeles, right?
right?
They have none. You know,
right?
They hear that their parents, their dad or their grandfather is a big Rams fan, but they don't really know the Rams. And so the Rams show up this year, and they're terrible. So all those people who are 25 years old and younger, maybe even 30 and I'm younger in L.A., are sitting there going, well, yeah, we got the NFL back, but it's awful. And they might be awful for a few more years here. So the question becomes, can the Chargers take advantage of that lull and build some kind of fan base? The other thing that goes on in this is the Rams came back and they built their training facility out in Thousand Oaks. And for anybody who's never been to Los Angeles, Thousand Oaks has as much to do with with Los Angeles as almost like Santa Barbara does. Like, you
right.
might as well be
right.
going to Santa Barbara, right?
Right.
Right.
And so if I'm the Chargers, I'm sitting there going, I'm planting a flag in the middle, the closest I can to downtown Los Angeles, and I'm building a training facility there. And I'm saying, I'm LA's team, and I'm trucking every high school football team and Pop Warner team and everything else, and I'm bringing them in every practice I possibly can, every event I possibly can, and I'm turning every young kid in Los Angeles into a Charger fan. And that's just how I would run this show. And I'd score a lot of points with Phillip Rivers. I would beg Phillip Rivers to play as long as he possibly can. And let's go score 30 points a game and make a show out of it.
That's interesting, Jason. Is there any chance that this gets like a midnight meeting with the NFL, gets rescinded, and they figure out a way to make this happen and get some money down there to build a coliseum for the Chargers in San Diego?
No, I don't think that's going to happen. The question is whether San Diego is going to pony up any other cash, and I don't think, based on the mayor's comments today, I don't see that it's happening. And in fact, the mayor, I think, benefits in a way. He looks like the guy who stood up to the evil
yep.
billionaire owner, right?
Well, so, and you know, I was saying this, Jason. I mean, how the people I speak to in San Diego, and you probably are a lot more connected than I am. But I've talked to people that live down there that have a lot of money, and they just don't want to do they don't. It's almost like they don't care. They want Spanos out of San Diego. I mean, that the Spanos family and the city of San Diego and their fans. It's kind of like, oh, it's not good. How much do you believe in that?
They say that. I mean, look, every city that's ever lost a team, the mayor of that town always gets a boost in their public opinion polls, because again, most people in every city in America are not sports fans, and they don't want to give a lot of money to sports teams, whether that's a football team, a baseball team, or a basketball team, a hockey team, whatever it is. They don't want to give money to them, and they think they resent it. So he's going to get a boost in popularity, just like every other mayor around the country does. But the bigger sense of this, and I'm kind of losing track of where I'm going to go, is, look, I think Spanos had no choice but to do this, and he had to find a way to make this work, because he knew in the back of his mind he was never going to get what he needed. I think that he understood that the league had already said, look, we have $300 million on the table for you if you want to stay in San Diego, or you got another deal here in L.A., we're not going to put any more money. And the other thing is, everybody's talking about Stan Kroenke was going to come in with $175 or $200 million to keep the Chargers in San Diego. I mean, that was number one, far fetched. Number two, Stan Kroenke's looking at this going, I get an additional $200 million from the league for part of a G4 loan. I get a second tenant. So guess what? My naming rights on my stadium probably just increased by 50% minimum. So if I was going to charge $18 million on my naming rights, I'm probably worth closer to $27 million a year on my naming rights. I get a bigger payday by having the Chargers than not having the Chargers, because I get more events. I get somebody to share the expenses with me. And while there's competition, okay, that's fine. There's also more money coming in.
That makes total sense. Why do you think something like that? Grant and I talked about the Giants and the Jets in New York. Now this will be in Los Angeles with the Rams and the Chargers most likely. Why couldn't something like that work looking at Oakland and the 49ers? Why aren't owners thinking along those lines, seeing that you only get eight home games?
Doug, you played the Bay Area for a while, right?
Well, Sacramento.
Yeah, okay. Well, close enough. I mean, you understand. I mean, Oakland and San Francisco are not really the same community.
Right. Not even close.
It's not even close. And worse, Santa Clara is not San Francisco, and it's also not Oakland.
Nope.
Not even close.
Right. And so the people from the East Bay, from Oakland, from Fremont, from Hayward, if you go further north, you go Contra Costa, Danville, that whole corridor up there. They don't travel down to Santa Clara.
Right.
They weren't going to go. And I think a lot of their research showed that they weren't going to go. And I think it would have been an okay temporary home for the Raiders. It was never going to be a permanent home for the Raiders. It was always going to be the Raiders playing in the 49ers' home, and that was not going to work. And so that's why the whole Raiders situation is falling apart and why they can't make something work in Oakland. And why ultimately they're probably going to end up at this point in time in Las Vegas, even though that's going to be a precarious situation year over year. Like if that team's bad, I could really see there being like 15,000 people at games. Like,
wow, that's incredible.
That's unbelievable.
It is.
Right. Hey. I mean, but when they're good, I think they'll be full.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be really, I think LA is, I mean, not LA, but I think Las Vegas, more than any other city, is going to be incredibly affected by the quality of the team.
Final thought, Sean McVay, 30 years old. I was around the Raiders, did their games for 5 years in preseason when John Gruden was the coach. He was the youngest coach in the NFL at the time, and it never really appeared to be an issue. I'm not saying that won't be the case here, but did this move surprise you at all, and do you think the age is an issue?
I think that he's bright enough. He's got the background. You know, his grandfather was general manager and a longtime coach. So I think Sean McVay, if you talk to enough people, everybody thinks that he has the acumen to do it. But I think Doug would tell us better than I could tell you that, you know, you get a young guy in a room, in front of a bunch of men, and they're going to test him. They're going to see what they can get away with. They're going to see what they, you know, especially football players who are, ultra macho, but all athletes are, and I think, again, Doug, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're going to test him to see what he's willing to put up with.
You got to shake the fence, Jason. And if he shakes back and stands his ground, he's going to be absolutely fine. He will have to have the mind, like you mentioned, to go along with it. And it looks like he does, but definitely in a room like that, they're going to shake the fence.
Right. I mean, Cam Cameron, who's as smart a offensive mind as there is, he couldn't stand up in front of the room. He couldn't stand up in front of the defensive linemen and the linebackers and tell them what to do. I remember Keith Traylor, Tractor Traylor, got up in front of those guys and said, "You don't know what you're talking about."
Right.
And Cam Cameron didn't know how to respond to him. He didn't sit there and he didn't do the simplest thing like, "Keith, you have two choices. You can either sit down or you can go to your locker and pack it up." And that's that's how a coach responds to that kind of thing. Cam Cameron couldn't do it. We'll see if Sean McVay can do that.
I was just saying the exact same thing to Doug before you came on, and I said, you know what, when you're in a locker room like that, you can tell within 5 minutes, and you can tell in the middle of the first practice. And so to me, I mean, I know we always talk about first impressions, but I got to believe his initial contact with the team and his first practice is going to be huge in that area.
There's an old story like that. It's a little bit darker, a little bit different, but it's like when G. Gordon Liddy, the Watergate burglar, went to prison. The first thing he did is he took a chair and beat somebody up with a chair.
Hey. Let him know.
Right.
Because he didn't want to get beat up in prison.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, before we let you go, I did want to get back to the Raiders because obviously here in Northern California, it is huge. Every single thing we're hearing from, the previous meetings, owners are warm to the idea. It doesn't appear that things, there's no concrete-ish plan You know, we hear about Ronnie Lott's group, but, you know, the Raiders aren't even involved in that. As we talk right now here in the second week of January, what would you say? Are we talking 80% gone, 90% gone? I mean, where are we at with this, in your opinion?
I don't know if we can put it. I don't know if 70 or 80. I just think, I always say this. Las Vegas has all the momentum right now because they've got $750 million on the table. They've got an active participant in the Raiders. They have somebody who wants to get a deal done. I'm not sure that Oakland wants to get a deal done with the Raiders. I think that Oakland's in a very different situation with Mayor Libby Schaaf, who's taking a stand, much like Kevin Faulkner, saying we're not going to spend money on a team. And I don't blame any mayor for doing that.
Do you think Mark Davis wants a deal with the city? Do you think Mark Davis really wants to stay in Oakland?
I think he's tired of it as well. I think he feels like he's getting, BS'd, every couple of years by whoever the next mayor is. And he feels like, hey, I want to go to someplace where they want to actually get something done. And I think that, it's a problem between Fortress Investment Group, the Ronnie Lott Group, and the Raiders, because you've got two different entities who are both trying to profit. So, again, there's a lot of momentum going for Vegas, and I don't think there's anything in Oakland that's stopping that momentum.
This is three teams in a really short span of time. Does this say anything to you about, maybe the climate of the NFL? I mean, there's a lot of money being thrown around, but you would think with three teams moving like this, what does that say to you, Jason?
Oh, it just says to me what we've known all along, which is that the stadium, having a great stadium in order to make local revenue is a critical part of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about two teams, the Chargers and the Raiders, who are playing in dilapidated stadiums. I mean, they're just trash.
Right.
And St. Louis was a stadium that even when they built it, it was out of date because they didn't bring the team in. Like, they built it, St. Louis built a stadium and then went out and got a team. They built it hoping that they would come, to borrow the old line from Field of Dreams. Okay. But they didn't build it correctly. They built a substandard stadium that the Rams couldn't maximize their profit and make it work over the long haul. So it just says that you have to have one of these new facilities where you can maximize your profit, make as much money as you possibly can. And unfortunately, these cities are the casualties of these circumstances.
Last weekend, we saw all the home teams win. As we get to the playoffs this weekend, as we're talking with Jason Cole, the NFL insider for Bleacher Report, Seattle, Houston, Pittsburgh, Green Bay. If I told you at least one road team was going to win, which one do you like the best?
At least one Pittsburgh I like the best. And I think both of the NFC games have an equal chance of the visiting team winning. I like all three of those games to see an upset. See a road team. The only game that is basically chalk at this point is the Saturday night game.
Sure.
I don't see any way for Houston to go up into New England and win that game.
If Jordy Nelson doesn't play, does that change how you feel about Green Bay?
No, not really, because they were able to get something done, without Jordy for most of the game against the Giants. And the Giants have a better secondary than the Cowboys.
Jason, no apprehension about Dak and Zeke being rookies in this spotlight and where they're at right now?
No, because those guys have played, and again, Doug, you played against a lot of guys. Just the stage wasn't too big for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for most guys, there's an adjustment to that stage. But these guys, they've been pretty much the same player from game one to game 16 this season. And even for Dak, going back all the way into the preseason,
mm-hmm.
you saw the same kind of composure. I don't think that the bigger stage is going to affect Dak. And I think that in some ways Ezekiel likes a bigger stage. He likes more people watching him. He likes, anybody who wears a midriff like the way that Ezekiel does.
Look at you,
great
Jason.
Point.
Man, the man loves him some Ezekiel. Let's just say that.
Can't argue there.
Yeah, he. I don't think he minds being on a bigger stage strutting around. Let's just put it that way.
Hey, great stuff. We appreciate you spending so much time with us, Jason. Yeah. I know it's a crazy day, and again, thank you very much.
Yes, no problem, you. Guys. Be good.
All right, take care. That's Jason Cole, NFL insider for Bleacher Report. Good stuff right there, huh?
That was some good stuff. Something that I didn't realize about Dak Prescott is he majored in psychology. And that yeah. whole mindset, the whole dealing with all that stuff, I think that we see that come out right yeah. now. And the way that he deals with the press and the locker room and all the different things, he's been very calm and collect the whole time, never really got rattled. And psychology is kind of my thing, and I speak about the mind. And looking at the way that he's handling stuff, it speaks to it, Grant.
All right, good stuff from Jason Cole, and we are going to come back. We're going to talk about all of these issues. We're also going to preview the Texans game in New England from their perspective with Chester Pitts. He's a former player from the Texans, and he's the Texan radio analyst. So we'll do that. And again, crazy day in the National Football League.
It's 3:54, time to get ready for the International Spokesman's Expo, coming to Cal Expo next Thursday through Sunday, January 19th to 22nd.
This is Sports 1140, KHTK.